Hello and welcome to the Litigation Podcast presented by Blackstone Chambers. Join our barristers as they discuss their expertise on trending topics and debates in the legal sector. If you want to be part of the discussion, subscribe below to receive our latest episodes.
A year ago, the CPR were amended to allow the courts to require parties to mediate. In the first of our short podcasts on mediation, Mark Shaw, King's Counsel, and Jane Mulcahy, King's Counsel, seasoned mediators, remind us of the rules in question and share thoughts on how mediation can be a powerful tool, even in the hardest fought cases.
Well, it's a year since the CPR were amended. Maybe we should give a reminder of what those rules now say.
Good idea. So since the 1st of October 2024, the rules have been amended to include the following. So CPR 1.1 now says that the overriding objective of dealing with cases justly and at proportionate cost, so far as is practicable, will now include promoting or using ADR. So that's the first thing. CPR 1.4.2 and 3.12 say the court's general case management duties and powers have been clarified to not only encourage but also to require, by order if necessary, the parties to engage in ADR where appropriate. And part 44, which is the cost provision, says when the court is exercising its general cost discretion, its considerations of the party's conduct may now include whether a party has failed to comply with an order for ADR or unreasonably failed to engage in ADR. Do you have any experience of court-ordered mediation, Mark?
Actually, I do. I have one, but outside the UK, and it was a bit of a disaster, frankly. I went a long way not to settle a case because it was obvious when I arrived for a three-day mediation, this is several years ago, that one party really wanted to mediate and the other party really didn't want to mediate and had been directed by the judge to do something they really did not want to do. So the mediation went nowhere for 3 days. But it was, I suppose, an illustration of having an opportunity to settle, which you then don't take. And I think it's only a matter of time before we get more of them in the UK. But I haven't actually come across any so far.
That sounds like a really cautionary tale. And I guess you should think about, if that's the case, how people, even if they're being forced into mediating, should try and make the best of it when they are. And so what do you think advisors and parties should think about when they're comparing litigation and mediation?
Well, I always say be a chameleon, by which I mean adapt to your context. So I say that to parties, lawyers, and to assistant mediators, really. Mediation is really not like litigation. It's utterly different. It's not litigation light. It demands very different skills and styles and thinking, both from the mediator and from the representatives and the parties. It's warfare, I suppose, litigation. We all know that. And it may be civilized, but it is also combat because it's adversarial and sometimes it's even gladiatorial. It's about winning and losing. Mediation is about conversation. It's about conciliation. It's about compromise. To get the most out of it, you need to put aside the litigator's instinctive adversarial mindset. So don't commit the cardinal sin of making points to the other side as if you're in court and expect them to bend or to be persuaded like a judge might in court. I've never heard a lawyer in all the 300-odd mediations I've done, I've never heard a lawyer in a mediation admit that they've been persuaded by the other side. They won't admit it to themselves, they won't admit it to their clients, they won't admit it to their opponents, and they won't admit it to the mediator, even in a private chat at the coffee machine. So in a mediation, the search, the quest is for not vindication and capitulation, which is what litigation is mostly about, but for a pragmatic solution or a pragmatic resolution, which will not delight either party, but which both can accept with a sort of grudging satisfaction and relief. If you've got a grudging acceptance at the end of a mediation, then I put that down as a win. Both sides still, of course, think they're in the right, but they've bent in order to avoid a worse outcome, which is a contested trial and all the risks and costs that accompany that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Some clients don't like that at all, do they? They simply want to win, to take it all and give nothing, and they're prepared to run the risk of losing rather than anything else. But I think most human beings prefer to avoid risk or at least hedge it and seek compromise, not combat. So the sensible thing to do is to turn that to your client's advantage and to think laterally and creatively. And I suppose what you really need to do is ask yourself what your client really wants out of the dispute and whether mediation can give you something towards that outcome, which litigation simply can't deliver.
Well, a few examples. I suppose the most obvious is an apology. Sorry, the S word, can be the hardest word, but it can also, often be the cheapest. Is your client prepared to say sorry? Conversely, is your client in need of hearing an apology? If so, try to put a monetary value on that and adjust your settlement numbers accordingly. So try to identify a figure that includes an apology and one that excludes an apology. Oh, and draft the words of any apology in advance rather than agonise over them on the day when temperatures are running high. So whether it's one your client might be willing to give or one that your client might want to get, preparation and drafting are key. The words matter. They matter a lot. And do not necessarily need to include the S word, but you might want to articulate some recognition or acknowledgement of upset or offence or distress or grievance that may have been caused inadvertently. So you might want to express regret, not apology.
Yeah, and just testing on an apology, I often find if there's an individual involved, for example, in an employment dispute, that they say they want an apology. But when they come down to it, the apology gets lost when the final outcome is in sight, because what that person really wants is more money. So it may be that asking for an apology is an important step in the process. But I guess the mediators and the parties need to remember to be flexible and let that request go if it turns out to be in the way of a more important goal. And they need to stay alive, I suppose, to other creative outcomes, as you say. In a commercial dispute, for example, if your client wants to generate or to retain or adjust or otherwise work with an ongoing commercial relationship with the other side, rather than for the parties to walk away from each other, you might want to suggest a new contractual or management or trust arrangement or something like that as part of a settlement package. Sometimes in a working relationship dispute, you can suggest perhaps something like an accelerated retirement or a sideways move of a troublesome trustee or employee if it's a clash of personalities that has given rise to the dispute. And I do remember being involved in something once where this happened, and I walked into the mediation and I was aware that in the employer's room there was about 6 people. I couldn't really understand why. And the individual was pretty much on their own a lot of the day, but with one person to support. And the individual very much didn't want to respond or to talk anymore, report to the actual manager they were working for. And I became aware during the day that actually the company really thought that manager was rubbish. And they had got that manager in the room with the potential new manager. And during the day, they offered to change the management structure. And I was really surprised, but it unlocked the dispute. And that was settled by their foresight and their understanding of what the problem really was. So really quite remarkable things can come out of mediation, which couldn't possibly come out of litigation.
Yes, and the key to unlocking is usually to identify some remedy that's of little cost to your client, but of great value to the other side. So easy gives. And an apology is an obvious one, but also things like a new contract to supply or receive something, or just to regulate the ongoing relationship, which is not normally something that a court would order. A brief handover or a consultancy or a training service free of charge. Easy give, or maybe use of offices, use of a vacant building, the ability to retain existing clients, or at least some existing clients, or an introduction to a potential new client that may be of value to one side. Moving an employee to a different desk or a different venue could defuse a tension or a conflict. Helping to find some missing document or equipment. A donation to charity is often a fairly neutral remedy. Either side can choose it. Giving the other side an asset that your client actually no longer needs. So I had one recently which involved a university tutor leaving, and they really wanted to keep the entire contents of their room, like the furniture, the artwork, sentimental value, I suppose, after years in the job, in the room. That was very low cost for the employer, but of great value to the tutor. So that worked well to get us over the line.
Well, that's certainly food for thought. Hopefully that's all been helpful in thinking about mediations going forward. And assuming that it has been helpful, we'll put together a second podcast for later this year about preparing for a mediation and how best to do that and how you can most usefully be a participant in a mediation. So thanks. Thank you for listening to the Litigation Podcast presented by Blackstone Chambers. Subscribe below to receive our latest episodes. Visit blackstonechambers.com to learn more.